Well, we have said that this is a nature program, so if you don't mind the clucking in the background, Mrs. Cluck has appeared and she is deciding that the office chair is where her egg is going to be laid. So we're going to have a few comments from the chicken while Tully and I are chatting. Well, of course, we have been speaking about Mammal Map on a couple of programs, and this is our citizen science section. So we thought we'd get Tully back to talk to us more about the Mammal Map blog itself, and that, of course, is mammalmap.blog.com. But one of the interesting things when going into the blog, Tully showed me the Mammal Map data summaries. Tully, what is this about? What is a Mammal Map data summary?
Well, Tim, the data summaries are monthly reports that we're preparing with Mammal Map that essentially are giving feedback to all of our contributors about the mammal records that we're getting into our data set.
When we say these mammal records, where are they coming from? Let's just refresh listeners how it works.
So how it works is we're asking people around Africa to contribute records of which mammals they see and where they see them. So we're specifically asking people to submit photographs of the mammals that they've seen, be it in a national park, a game reserve, a private protected area, or in their gardens or alongside the road. The record can be from anywhere and of any species. But what we ask is that people submit photographs of the animal along with some sort of frame of reference of where that photograph was taken. Ideally a GPS coordinate, either from their handheld GPS device or one that they can pinpoint on a Google map, just to give us an idea of where the photograph was taken and also when. So just a date and time of the sighting.
Now, of course, in my usual senior moment, I open up the blog and my hands touch the screen and I move it to Europe. Naturally, I am not finding lions, leopards and unidentified animals in Europe. But if I keep on moving this down, I start coming into Africa and South Africa. The first surprise that I have here, Tully, is that you've got marks on all sorts of places. From Guinea, you've got Ethiopia, Tanzania, you name it. You guys have got little pins in here that are saying Mammal Map. Now, I didn't realize to the level that you've extended Mammal Map beyond our own borders.
I think it's fair to say, Tim, that very few people recognize that Mammal Map extends beyond South African borders. And I think that's symptomatic of the fact that Mammal Map began in South Africa by South African institutions. But the goal of Mammal Map is to map mammals across the whole of Africa. And of course, the further we spread our networks of contributors, the further into Africa our records of mammal distributions are spreading. So we're getting records from far further afield than just South Africa alone, even far further afield than Southern Africa. So we've got hundreds of records in East Africa. We're starting to stretch into West Africa. We're still missing Central Africa, as you'll see on the map. And of course, we've got not a single record north of the Sahara. So there's so much scope to improve and develop our geographic extent. But we are really happy with the progress that Mammal Map is making.
Let's say, for example, Ethiopia. The information that's coming to you from there, where would that be coming from? Citizen scientists, or are we predominantly here looking at researchers?
Actually, what we're finding is that our contributions are coming from a near equal split. One of the graphs on this report shows the split between citizen scientists who aren't professional scientists, who aren't experts. They're just ordinary people wanting to contribute their time and energy to conservation. So about half of the records are coming from them and the other half are coming from mammal experts, people doing research in various places across Africa.
Now, of course, when you look at this, we've got so many issues around elephant poaching, lion poaching. Well, I think poaching just about every species that exists on the planet. How are they protected in here? Because surely a map like this, you can get the guys you don't want to coming along and saying, hang on a moment, this is like a shopping in Pick and Pay. We can pick up any animal we want. Thank you, Tully.
That's absolutely a valid concern. So what people will notice when they look at this map, the first thing is they will see the GPS locations that we have in Mammal Map. But the information that we keep hidden are the species IDs that associate each GPS coordinate. So in our Mammal Map database, we have the exact species identification for each record within our system. But when we feed back this information on a platform like this one, where we don't want to leave the data exposed to abuse in any form, we keep that information hidden. So on this map that people will see on our blog, they'll see the geographic extent of our data set, but they won't be able to determine which species responds or refers to each GPS point.
You were saying there are obviously some holes because the good folk in that area, the Congo, etc., not always the greatest place to go along and visit. But Angola, you just recently visited.
Yes, absolutely. And I think the holes that you're seeing aren't because there aren't people going to those areas or visiting or people living there who want to contribute data to Mammal Map. I think Mammal Map is still quite young. We're only just over a year old. So we've yet to expand our networks fully into every part of Africa. So I think in time, these records will come. And as you mentioned, I have just been to Angola to try and spread the message of mammal mapping there and to see how we can map mammals in a country like that one. And we have got some records of mammals that will soon be appearing on this map. But I think the more people become aware of Mammal Map and can realize how easy it is for them to become involved, the more records we will start to see in some of these more remote areas of Africa.
Interesting, I see you've got a variety of different pie charts on the map.
Yes, so we've put a number of different summaries onto this blog. So the first is just the spatial distribution. So that's the map that people will look at. But when they scroll below that, I think it's important to give people an indication of which species we have in our data set. And we can do that without showing the geographic location of the species. So we've chosen to do that using pie charts. So the first chart people will see is a breakdown of the percentage of records we have for each mammal species in our data set. And what I find really interesting there is that the records that are most prevalent are the more charismatic, the more sexy species. So things like lions and leopards and elephants, those are the records that we seem to get the most information for. Further down the list, you start to find, interestingly, the more common species. So things like impala and kudu and springbok, we don't get nearly as many of those as we get records of the sexy species. And when you get even further down the list, the poor neglected small mammals, the rodents and the bats, they at the moment hardly feature at all in our data set. So I think these graphs give people a really good indication of what information we do have and what information we don't have, which can really help them to figure out which photographs of theirs we need.
I like the way that you've said that because I can understand bats and small mammals invariably very difficult to get hold of. You can't sort of go along and do a game drive and say, oh, look, there are three elephant shrews and a whistling grass rat. It's not going to happen. But of course, as you quite rightly point out, and I'm looking at the chart at the moment, great amount of lion are obviously about, plenty of leopard and all sorts of other creatures, but not an impala in sight. And, you know, it's rather amusing because I suppose everybody thinks we've got impalas at every corner. Obviously, that's what we're going to have. We've got hundreds and thousands of them. Why even have any more?
Absolutely. So this is a mindset that we've been trying to change over the months, and I'm hoping that these graphs that we're showing will do that. Just try to change the idea that some species are more important than others. Ideally, every single species of mammals counts equally. And regardless of how common or how rare that species is, we are interested in photographs and geographic coordinates for absolutely every single species. So what we're hoping to do with these graphs is to show people where we're lacking information, both in terms of species, as this pie graph shows, but also in terms of location. So if you look back at the spatial extent, so that map of distribution records, you can start to see not only country holes, but within each country, you can get a sense of where we're just getting no records from. And people can target those areas and be the first people to submit a sighting from an area that's never been surveyed before, or where data doesn't exist in Mammal Map. So people can really start to be pioneers in terms of how they help us collect information for Mammal Map.
I'm rather fascinated by the unidentified. Please enlighten me.
Well, we get thousands of photographs into Mammal Map. When those photographs are submitted, the contributor specifies what species is in that photograph. But then it's up to our Mammal Map team to go through each of those records and verify those species. Some of those are easy to do. Others take a little bit more work. So we encourage people to submit photographs regardless of the quality. But that means when it comes to IDing the photographs, we have to be sure that we're getting that ID correct. And sometimes that means going quite far afield to find experts in a particular group of animals to help us ID those records accurately. So we have got a bit of a lag. It takes us time to make sure that each record is accurately identified. So when you see unidentified, that's just what it means. We just haven't got round to IDing that animal properly yet.
I'm fascinated as well by, you made the comment earlier, the split between scientist and citizen scientist. And I see you've got a lovely map here showing that scientists are 46%, 54% coming out of citizen scientists. that's starting to show a real value that the average person like myself has to offer.
Absolutely. And this is something we try to convey to people all the time, that it doesn't matter who you are or how much information you have to give. Absolutely every single photograph of any mammal from anywhere in Africa is valuable. And when you look at citizen science compared to scientists, there are just so many more citizen scientists than scientists that can contribute to conservation. So if you start spreading conservation messages to regular people, your chance to collect data about mammals just increases exponentially. So there will always be more regular people than there will be scientists interested in mammals. And that's something that we can really convey to people, is that every person out there can contribute to this mammal conservation project.
Tully, what has fascinated me here is over the years, I've seen these projects come and go. And never have I seen a project that has been gone into such depth. And you get the feeling that this project just isn't a flash in the pan. You guys have really committed yourselves to this one.
Absolutely. And I think the project is going to grow from strength to strength year after year, and not just be a short-lived project either. This is a project that we want to develop into perpetuity. So what's important for people to understand is that this very basic information that we're collecting, this information of where animals are, is absolutely crucial to any conservation or animal management project. Everything we do in conservation relies on this very basic distribution information. This is how we know whether animals are at risk of extinction, whether we need to prioritize conservation areas, whether we need to prioritize conservation spending to certain species over others. Without this distribution information, we just can't make those decisions. And we need to see how these distributions, not just where they are today, but where they are in 5 years' time, in 10 years' time, in 20 years' time, so that we're always guaranteed that the information we're basing our conservation decisions on is the most accurate and the most up-to-date.
Now, if I go and I look at this and I'm, for example, driving through Pilanesberg National Park is a perfect example. And I'm there in February and I see elephant, and I go back in July next year and I see elephant in the same place. Can I resubmit that data? Are you able through your calculations in order to say, hang on a minute, it's been submitted before, does it have any value? Or is it a case of, do I need to say in the back of my head, been there, seen those, mapped them, and gone away again?
Absolutely not. So what we're wanting is continual records of any animal you see at any time of year, regardless of whether it's in the same place or not. In fact, those records from the same place become some of the most interesting, because that's how we can make comparisons from season to season and month to month and year to year of what animal distribution patterns are doing. So in actual fact, the repeat observations are as important as those baseline first off observations that you make. So by all means, continually submit records for the same species in the same location month after month and year after year.
Once I have a look at this, I've seen this now, you've brought it up, you've brought it to my attention on the blog, is it going to appear again? Is it a quarterly that you update it? How often does this happen?
We're planning to update these maps and these graphs every month. So we want to give people feedback on a monthly basis about what the data in Mammal Map's doing. We feel that the data is coming in at a rate that's high enough now for us to be able to give feedback on a monthly basis and for it to remain meaningful. So we'll give these maps monthly and we'll show people the contrast between 1 month to the next to show them how the data is developing and which areas we're spreading into and which areas we need people to help us spread into. So we'll continually update on our Facebook and on our Twitter account to tell people that new reports are available, and we can email them to them if they'd prefer, just to keep people thinking about what Mammal Map is doing and visually seeing the progress.
I do see in here that you are saying you can email them to them. Folks, if you are into the blog site, try and see whether you could actually live with getting the information on the blog. At the end of the day, I do realize that the email is only one more button, but knowing the amount of work that these folk are putting into this project, I would also try and urge you, try and work through the blog wherever possible. The data is going to be the same, and I personally believe it is just as easy to sit down with your laptop, with your computer, go through your data, and then just keep on looking in the blog itself. There are always interesting things that are coming out in this blog. It's not just a once a month flash in the pan, or else something that's going to be here and disappear. I know Tully hasn't said so, but I do believe that there's sponsorship opportunities as well here, because at the end of the day, these folk are putting a lot of effort in. It's costing a lot of money, and I do believe it would be really great for them to get some form of reward to make sure that they can continue into the future. Tully, if people want to find out more about this blog, more about Mammal Map, they want to get involved, and I really urge people to get involved, because you are then contributing to science and future conservation of a variety of species, be it biomes, be it biodiversity, but you are contributing, which I always find is great. How do people do that?
I think, like you've been saying all along, the first place for them to stop at is at our blog. So that's mammalmap.blog.com. On our blog, we indicate all the various ways that people can get involved. They can also contact us directly. We've got email addresses on there that they can send us emails. There's a bunch of us that will respond to them. But the blog is definitely the first and probably the most interesting place for them to stop first off.
When you look at the blog, folks, you're going to see Mad Mammal Mondays. No, we are not talking about your mother-in-law or any mad cow disease. We are talking about Mad Mammal Mondays, Media of the Week, Conservation News, Upcoming Events, Be a Citizen Scientist, Submit Your Sightings Online. It's all in the blog. It's kind of a one-stop shop where you can get yourself involved. Do remember that when you are taking those photographs, just because you've got photographs of birds or trees, don't discard those either. There are a variety of places that you can go into on the ADU website, and you can submit the birds, and of course the trees is something that I personally am very interested in. So there is a whole bunch of different maps that you can get involved with, but Mammal Map is the one that we are going to be following for a good while. Going to be a regular feature on the program, because at the end of the day, I think mammals, that cute little bokkie, is always something that attracts us. And as Tully says, one of the interesting facts here is that we have these high levels of the charismatic species. So why don't you get snapping and let's see a couple of little bushbuck. And I tell you what, they're a lot harder to find than any lion.
And a lot harder to photograph often as well.
And of course, Tully, that's something I think that's also very important that you did mention. You don't need the perfect full body shot. This is not a modeling competition.
Absolutely. In fact, all we need are some sort of distinguishing features. So if a mammal has a particularly fluffy and distinct tail and that's all you manage to photograph, that's absolutely fine. So people mustn't hesitate. If they're concerned that we might not be able to identify the animal in the picture, doesn't matter, send it through anyway. If we can't, we'll put the record aside. But chances are we've got people who know the particular species very, very well. And we can send these records to specialists who can ID an animal or say that it's not identifiable at all. So rather err on the side of sending us everything that you have and we'll keep or discard as we need.
Wild dog are easy to identify from their pattern of their coat. Cheetah, exactly the same. And leopard, you identify them from facial areas. Lions, very similarly. Elephant by their ears. Almost every animal has got some identifying feature where you can start to log them in. And of course, I do believe over time, that too will become important within Mammal Map, where not only will you be able to follow the species, but possibly they'll be able to identify the movement of individuals. But I think that's all the way down in the future. Who knows how big this becomes? It has gained international recognition, which I think is hats off to the guys for doing it. And of course, it is that mammalmap.blog.com. Tully, I trust that the blog itself is a lot of fun, not only just hard work.
Absolutely. I think we have a great time. Those of us working on the project really believe in this project so much that it makes every day a pleasure to be involved in it. And we're just so excited at the progress that the project's making and at the level of exposure that the project's getting. So it's really our biggest goal is to spread the message of conservation and to show people how easily they can get involved in projects like this and how important even their most basic contributions are. So we really are excited at the way Mammal Map is going and look forward to welcoming any new mammal mappers that would like to join us.
Tully, on that, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks very much, Tim.